Welcoming you today, especially if you're a visitor. We're so glad that you're here, and we pray that today might be in some way some encouragement to you. Today is the official start of our life groups, though some groups have already met. Some continue to meet through the summer, and some will be meeting over the next couple of weeks as they get their beginning. There's still a table in the back if you haven't signed up for a life group. We are going to attempt this year to just keep building life groups, and so there might be a group or two that you won't even see the name out there. They'll just form over the course of the season, and we welcome that. So I want to encourage you to be as Paul talked about last week. He talked about how sheep gather for protection. They come together for protection, and we want to encourage you. Find some sheep to hang out with for your protection and for theirs as well. Today, if you read the little blurb, the little synopsis of the lesson this morning, really just intended to kind of get you to thinking for just a moment about all of the bad news that is in our world today. We have no shortage of bad news, do we not? I mean, if I were to ask you who in your life that you know of, who in your family, who in your close circle of friends, who in your community, whether it be your military community or your community where you live, your zip code, or whether it might be your church family, I bet we could all come up with a pretty good list of folks who are really struggling. People who have health issues that are not going away, or perhaps them, there's no real answer. There's no good answer for those health issues. We all know families who are struggling just to keep their heads above water. We hear in the news all of the time just violence. I mean, it's happening. Shootings all over the place. We see injustice taking place, not just around the world, but right here. Wars and rumors beginning or to begin in the future. I mean, we just see this all the time. And it's been said before, and I probably first heard it 10 years ago when social media really began to pick up steam. And it'll continue to be true, I'm sure, for the foreseeable future. And that is that there's never been a time in our history where news was more readily available. I mean, it's just boom. As soon as something happens, almost we can know about it. And so it's really easy, I think, in this type of environment where we're being bombarded all of the time with such negativity and genuinely, you know, realistically, really, really bad things taking place in our world. It's really easy to have a perspective that of hopelessness, a perspective of despair. And I think that part of that is just part of being human. You know, it's part of the human condition. We are all going to struggle and go through hard times. And maybe you today, maybe there's some folks here today who maybe you're in the worst season of your life that you can remember. Or maybe you just came through the worst season of your life. Or some of you, it's coming next week. None of us can predict the future. But the simple fact is that the human condition is one of suffering. You know, Jesus made this statement, and never a truer statement has been made when it comes to the human condition. He says, in this life you will what? In this life you will have trouble. In this life you will have trouble. So, as we think about that perspective, I wanted us this morning to share some encouraging thoughts, some things that hopefully would lift us up. And for me, you know, there's almost nothing more encouraging when I look at my own situation and I look at my own struggles with sin and with anxiety and with worry and with fear and all of the same things that you struggle with. It's so encouraging for me to look around and see just what God is doing today. And we all have faith that God is going to do great things later, right? I had this conversation twice this week with someone who is struggling mightily. And the conversation went something like this. And I don't even remember if it was him that made the statement or her that made the statement or whether it was me, but it was true nonetheless. And that was, it doesn't take much of this for us to just really think, you know what? This life can't be all that there is. What has taken place in this life cannot be all that there is. And so it makes us, these struggles that we go through, this perspective of negativity and pain and suffering really makes us look to the one who can promise us a better future. Amen? But we also need to open our eyes and we need to see that God is not just going to do things great. He is doing great things today. So this morning, I want us to look at, I'm just going to call it, you'll see on the slide, 7 years in the life of a life group. All right? And some of you, I don't want to see anybody jump up and run out, but some of you are going to see your names on the screen. All right? Nothing negative is going to be said about you. In fact, we're going to use you and your story and what you are doing to encourage the body here. We're told to encourage one another, amen? And that's what we're going to do this morning. I want to just tell you, just give me about 3 or 4 minutes to go through the life, 7 years in the life of a life group that is known for lack of a better term, as the Young Married Life Group, all right? And the Young Married Life Group began sometime around 2012. All right, and the first leaders of that life group were Cale and Reagan, and they only stayed here for about a year. They took my beautiful grandson and moved to South Carolina, where they are doing great things and taking apparently very seriously to populate the earth with Fergusons, because we're about to have our fourth grandchild out there here in just a couple of months. And when they left here after having just been with this incredible young married life group, they went out to South Carolina and they began a small group ministry in their church, which is still going, and we're really, really proud of that. Shortly after they left, Tyler and Jesse Wheat, I'm going to include Jesse in on this, even though she wasn't married yet because Tyler hadn't put a ring on it at the time, but she was very much a part of that, and Tyler led that group. And what has Tyler been up to? Well, Tyler has begun. He has started our men's ministry, Inertia, and he also co-leads with Ralph the Tuesday morning men's Bible study group. And then Billy and Samantha Dell came along, and Billy came here with Samantha, and Billy was basically an atheist. And Billy began to lead that group after Tyler stepped down. And Billy and Samantha left here a couple of years ago, and within a month, Billy was the youth volunteer youth group leader in Utah, where they moved to. And then there was Kenny and Sarah Caldwell. Kenny and Sarah immediately stepped up to the plate. And, of course, we also have not only Kenny leading that group at that time, but Sarah being part of a super church for, we believe, going on her fourth year. She's got a bunch of kids, and so she couldn't remember exactly how long. We just said it's something like 3 or 4 years. So, hey, I understand that. So there you go. There's something. There's some real fruit taking place there. And now Kenny has stepped out of that life group and is co-leading a group with the McCrarys. And then you had Nick and Nicole Miller. And Nicole, of course, partners in crime with Sarah, helping to lead Super Church for the last 3 to 4 years, and they have stepped out of that life group where they are now co-leading with Kevin and Jennifer Price. And then you had the letters are getting smaller and smaller because you can see that there's a whole lot of potential that's taken place. Then you have Matt and Leslie Warren. Matt and Leslie were a part of that group in the early years. And, of course, Matt is an awesome worship leader. Ain't that right? That is also true. And then you have Robert and Molly Cornelius, and they are the 2019 leaders of this Young Married Life group. And if you were to go back, it is still on the table. I went by there this morning and looked at it, and lo and behold, that group is full yet again. Now, I got to ask this question, y'all. What's happening? What's happening right here under our noses? I mean, you got a group of folks, all right, who've met together, who've shared lots of Bible study, lots of prayer. I have heard that when their group comes together, that is absolutely chaos and bedlam, and that kids are just liable to, right in the middle of a Bible study, come through, hey, I need somebody to wipe me. And that this happens all the time. And a bunch of kids, a stressful situation. And in 7 years, look what's taken place. And that's not all. Those are just the stories that I know of. Out of one group of people who have consistently come together to share Jesus, to share a meal, to share their lives together, and look what God has done here. And I tell you, to answer the question, what is going on here? I'll tell you what's going on here. God's doing what God does. Y'all hear me? God is doing what God does. And what if we enthusiastically expected that to take place? You know, as someone who is older, a good bit older than the oldest person in that group, I wonder if that same sort of fruit is being born among my contemporaries. I'm not saying it isn't. It just makes me wonder. It makes me look, and it makes me see that, hey, God, y'all, God is doing some great things among some folks that maybe some of us have written off. Now, I'm not saying I ever wrote Kenny off, but if you ever think Kenny is going to get up here and preach, you got another thing coming. He's sweating right now, y'all. I'm telling you. There's probably some strong guys in this audience, but I would say that there ain't three of you here that could drag him up here. Is that right, Kenny? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe God might surprise me. He may surprise me. But they're doing good things. And it isn't them, it's God working through them. It almost sounds a little bit like the passage that Doug read this morning from Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. But let's read this passage together. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I want us to look at there's so much in this passage. From the people that God placed in positions of authority and leadership, and it's their areas of giftedness, to exactly what he wants us to look like, but I want to look at just a couple of phrases. All right, we don't have all day, so just a couple of phrases this morning from verse 15. And the first thing I want you to notice is those words that you see in large type. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, we will grow. And folks, the focus here is on an ordained process. We will grow. We will grow. If you've ever seen an infant, had kids, what happens when you feed those kids? I mean, you feed them and they grow, right? I mean, it's really not that difficult. The difficulty comes later on, right? But as far as a kid, you don't have to make them eat. There may be something that they don't like to eat. If you know me very well, I will not eat a sweet potato. And I know some of y'all think that's crazy, but when I was growing up, my mom and daddy made me eat sweet potatoes, and I didn't like them. And those were in the days where you ate everything on your plate. And I wish they could have just put a pecan pie on my plate, and I would have had no problems with that. I don't like sweet potatoes. There might be something that your child, your infant, would not eat. But if they got hungry enough, they would eat it. And they would grow. Folks, growth is a God-ordained process. And, you know, nobody sat back and thought 7 years ago, we're going to start a group of folks meeting together, and in 7 years, we're going to tell this story and see that almost everybody in that group has taken on some kind of ministry or some kind of leadership role or done something that really benefits the body. We never intended that. That was never an intention, yet God took that. And of course, the truth is that it didn't happen in 7 years, did it? God was working in those folks' lives for years and years and years, and he put people in their lives, and mothers and fathers and mentors. He put friends in their lives. He put other married couples in their lives to bless them. And God is responsible for that. Folks, God has ordained that we would grow. It's part of who God is, and it's part of who we are. The second phrase in verse 15, it's the second half of verse 15. Paul says, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Christ. Folks, nothing in nature stays the same, does it? You know, we spend a lot of time throughout in almost every area of life trying to figure out how we can stay the same. You know, we see ourselves getting older, and the waist size of our pants get bigger, and we start wearing larger sizes. We start seeing our hair change color or our hair falling out. We see maybe our memory not being as sharp as it was. And if we look at nature, all of nature is like this. There isn't anything in nature that stays the same. Nothing. We've all seen the pictures of the river cutting through the gorge, and over years and years and years of that flow of water, it cuts a deeper and deeper and deeper gulch. Nothing remains the same. And yet, we worship a God who never changes. Some of the passages that really come to mind is, the first one is Hebrews 13, verse 8. And you all know this one. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. James chapter 1, verse 27, James says that God, that every good and perfect gift comes from God the Father, and that he does not change like the shifting of shadows. And then one that came up on my feed, on my Bible feed yesterday, that I thought was really apropos for today, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the Lord's purpose that stands. Y'all, we can know that even as our lives change, even as we lose our health, or those who we love lose their health, even as ultimately we will lose our life as those who we love lose their lives, even as we grow weak, whether it be morally or physically or emotionally or spiritually, even as those that we love might maybe betray us or lose their love for us, even as our jobs change and our financial outlook changes, even as everything around us changes, folks, we are serving a God who does not change, and we can absolutely depend on Him to continue to love us, continue to care for us. And this process that He promised us, that we will grow, and we will continue, should we continue to give ourselves to Him, to become in every respect the mature body of Christ. Even as everything changes, we look to the Father. You know, most of us know how hard it is for us to hit the target, the moving targets that the world throws at us, isn't it? Isn't it hard to always please people? It's so hard to make people happy with our performance in this area or that area of our lives. If you're like me, I'm a pleaser, and I like to please people. And when I don't please people, I'm not happy. I'm not happy with myself. I'm not happy with anything. And it causes me a whole lot of stress. And I need to be reminded that isn't the end goal. Pleasing me is not the end goal. It's pleasing God. And the great thing about God is that His target is not moving. It's the same. We have a target that is the same yesterday and today and forever. God doesn't change. Here's the two things that I want you to remember this morning. First of all, God doesn't change. His love is the same. His strength is the same. His expectation for us is the same. And secondly, He has ordained our growth, our formation. When I think about that life group that we just used as an example this morning, it's really encouraging. It's a really encouraging perspective to see that even though we may not have had anything to do with the formation of that group, we didn't plan any of their meetings, we didn't take any food to their meetings, I never went to their group and taught a Bible study, and probably most of you never did either. And yet God was working, wasn't He? God was active. And He was doing things right now to help us grow and to help us become more like, in every respect, to become more like the body of Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Father, we know that there is so much in this world that is not good. Father, we know that there is pain, that there is suffering, there is struggle. We know that there are people, Father, associated with this body this morning who are in the hospital. Father, we think about Dot Harris in ICU and the struggle that her family is going through. We think about others, Father, who are in the nursing homes, others who are ill, others who are struggling, Father, with really difficult diagnosis. Father, we know that there are many here who are struggling in their families, marriages that are struggling mightily to stay afloat. Father, we know that there are people who, in our country, Father, who are struggling with poverty, people who have been abused, who have had injustices perpetrated upon them, people who don't know where their next meal is going to come. Father, there are places around the world where even today, men and women are in harm's way. Father, it concerns us, and it discourages us, and it makes us fearful. Father, help us to see another perspective this morning. Help us to see that you love us, and that you are at work in our body, in our church, and that you are not only at work now, Father, but you have been at work, and you are doing things, Father, of which we take no credit whatsoever. Father, we give you the praise, we give you the honor, and we give you the glory. Father, we pray that you would help us to love one another so deeply that we are always looking for ways to encourage one another. Help us to see and recognize and have wisdom, Father, to know when the folks in this body are hurting so we can lift one another up. Father, we do not deserve anything good that you do in our midst. And yet, you give us your blessings. You help us grow. And Father, we believe that you are involved in this process of us becoming more like Jesus. So that, Father, one day we will be in every respect the body of Christ. Father, thank you so much for Jesus, for giving his precious, sinless life, for giving him to us. Father, forgive us when we are not patient with one another, when we refuse to forgive one another, when we're not compassionate towards one another. Father, help us to look up, to raise our eyes up, and see what you are doing. Father, I thank you for your work among that life group, among all those young married folks, Father, who braved stressful times, dragging their kids to meetings, to sit around a table, to sit in a living room, and share life with each other. I thank you for all of the work that they are doing, the ministries they're involved in, the other groups that they're leading. We thank you for giving us your Spirit. Father, help us not to quench that Spirit. And I pray that the rest of us would be open to the opportunities to fulfill the purpose that you have for our lives. We thank you so much for all you do for us. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. This morning, if you have a need, maybe you've never named Jesus as your Savior, we want to give you the opportunity this morning to come and put Jesus on in baptism. And let us put our arms around you. We'd love to share that moment with you this morning. And maybe if you've already done that and you think about the process, you think about the growth, and you really want to open yourself up, and you need the prayers of this body to open yourself up to what God wants to do in your life, the purpose that he wants to fulfill in your life, and you need to do that in a public way, then we're here for you. We want you to be encouraged. Our Father God is so loving, more loving and compassionate than anything we can imagine. And he loves you enough to give his Son for you. Please come as we sing.